Amen, amen. Still not as still quite different Catholics, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, dear Jesus, for this time together once again, dear Lord. Lord, we were hoping, dear Jesus, that our time would be raptured up, but Lord, but we are in your timing, dear Jesus. The day is not over. Amen. Let your will be done for our lives, Lord. Help us to be responsible for the time that you have given us, dear Jesus. And Lord, if you do bless us or however you want to say it for another day, let us take that charge, dear Lord, to bring more into your bosom, dear Jesus, to be responsible for the souls that are in the balance, dear Lord. Hallelujah. In agreement with your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, let us soldier out, dear Jesus. I pray that this word be a blessing on today, dear Lord, that again just continues to reach areas that we never knew we could, dear Lord. But by the power and the flight of your Holy Spirit, dear Jesus, we are reaching those that we did not know we could. And we thank you for that, dear Lord.
Amen.
We pray for Pastor Sandy right now, dear Lord, that he continues to speak with boldness the message that you laid upon his heart, dear Lord, not to be discouraged or derailed, but be purposeful in what you called him to do, dear Jesus, as we stand together as soldiers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. All right. While they're over there, I'm live right now, though, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll be back because I need to write something on the board. And what'd you do with my eraser, Pastor Ben?
What did I do?
It's in my bag. But see, if I use my hand, my wife don't yell.
Please don't use your hand.
All right. It's faster. I got it. It's right. I got it. Okay. I gotta stop. We have a quite an interesting message today, but the Lord says I have to show you this first. We're on the 14th. This is the last day of 120 years. And I just want you to know that Enoch was raptured when he was 365. So I'm waiting till midnight. Because it's the 365th day of God's year. Okay, I'm just gonna write this because so you can see it as I'm talking about it. Adam to Abraham. Okay, was how long? 1948 years. Isn't that something? Second Adam. Who's second Adam?
Jesus.
All right. Ooh. From his birth to the nation of Israel was how long? 1948 years.
Wow.
Okay. So that's the second Adam is Jesus, and then Israel's rebirth. Okay. Is Abraham the father of the nation of Israel?
Yes.
So both times, 1948 equals what? The birthing of the nation of Israel. God said, you guys don't listen. You know why? Because he's like, that was incredible what I did, and no one paid attention. That means everybody that was born after Adam was created, their birth and number of days that they would live had to be numbered. Because God was counting to 1948. Because he knew that when Abraham's father began to give birth, it had to be 1948 years. Why? Because the whole Bible is about Jesus. And God knew that when Jesus was born, 1948 years later, the nation of Israel would be born. You understand? Yeah. So that means everyone up here that you see how long they lived, God measured it. Okay? All the way till you got to Abraham's father, and he gives birth to three sons, and that's the 1948th year. So not only is the Bible 19 books forward, getting you to the 48th chapter talking about the rebirth of the nation of Israel, and 48 books backwards talking about the rebirth of the nation of Israel, God has focused everything on that 1948 year. Why? Because God said in chapter 48 of Psalms, this will be the Lador HaAcharon. This will be the last generation. So the Lord was talking to me yesterday about, don't worry about it. I've done some things that are so incredible that people should be amazed and not worrying about, is this the time, is this the time, is this the time? The solidified thing is what? You have eternal life.
Yeah.
And you have a wedding ceremony to go to. And you're living in the last days because Jesus says 1948, that fig tree is the Lador HaAcharon. So as I'm thinking about, okay, what am I going to say tomorrow? And the Lord's like, don't worry about it. The day will happen because it's already on my schedule. That wedding feast is already planned. That day is already planned. So don't worry about it. So I said, well, if it doesn't come, Lord, can I start teaching some of the stuff you taught me? Because I have stuff, right? That's like, Lord, I can teach this. Nah, I want you to teach this. And I have to be obedient because, you know, I'm a child. Right. Childs get whippings and I don't want one. So I've been just letting you know, like, this is the time, this is the season, this is why we're looking forward, this is why we need to stay ready. And someone sent me something from a pastor, J.D. Farad, and I liked it. I was like, oh my goodness, J.D. Farad hit it on the nail. He looked up a former Bible before the King James that translated that the Antichrist would not come until there is a departure. And it used the word departure.
Wow.
So he says, if this is true, this is a slam dunk that the church has to depart before the Antichrist comes. Mm-hmm. I went, I love this guy. He's awesome. I'm glad he even took the time to research it to make sure, right? Because it has nothing to do with the falling away of the church or apostasy or that. All of that has been church made up, okay? And so I'm like, well, I give him this big shout out. And then someone says, you know, he believes in once saved, always saved, don't you? They sent me a thing. I went, no way. You can't study this and, you know, be diligent about this and not know once saved, always saved is like the biggest lie that Satan has on the end time church. Okay? It is like, God told me it is so ridiculous for Christians to believe it. It's like saying to a four-year-old, hey, I see you have a dollar, but I have 10 dimes. This is the Lord telling me, I'll give you all 10 of these dimes for that $1. And the four-year-old goes, wow, they're so shiny here. He says, that's how Christians are now.
Yeah.
You don't even think. You just let people tell you stuff and you chew it up and you go, yeah, this has got to be the truth, right? But we don't study it, okay? Now, I know that many pastors don't study Hebrew, and if you don't study Hebrew, you don't know what someone meant when they talk. You understand? You got to know what people meant when they talk, okay? Like I always use the example, tripping is not always tripping, right? Because if you're tripping on drugs, you're not falling down.
Right.
Okay? But you got to know what I mean, right?
Right. Culture.
So it's the culture. So I'm trying to let people know that there is a problem in these last days, and the problem is mixing grace with works and saying that I'm trying to work my way to heaven, because this is the thing. If I'm cheating on my wife and I say, I've got to stop, if I'm determined to stop doing that, that means I'm trying to get to heaven by works because I already got saved. Am I trying to do works?
No.
No, I'm trying to stop sinning. I'm trying to be in obedience, right?
Right.
It has nothing to do with works. But that's where they've got the church. Like, if you try to stop sinning, that means you're doing the work and Christ already did all the work. So don't try to stop fornicating. Don't try to stop doing drugs because you're saying Christ wasn't good enough.
Ooh.
This is the lie that's going out. And Satan's just over in the corner going, I gave him 10 dimes. I gave him 10 dimes. I gave you a dollar. Because we ate it, right? This is... And you've got churches arguing over this fact. And my problem with church is that church has never taken the time to study. Every profession in the world, I would dare for Nicole to go to work and they say, well, what's the experience do you have in being an accountant? Well, I was really good at math in the fourth grade.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Okay, come on, right? That lady has her master's. I want you to operate on me and try to take care of this problem, Doc. What experience do you have? I played Operation when I was a kid.
Ooh.
See, some people don't even know what Operation is. I love Pastor Beer. He gets everything I said. We grew up together. 70s and 80s, right?
Amen.
You need to study for everything that you do in society except being a pastor.
Wow.
Even though the guy that's hiring you says, study to show thyself approved, right?
Yep.
We go, nah.
I don't got to study.
I don't have to study. Because I'm exciting to listen to, and I can make up stories, and I can... No, that doesn't qualify you. I will not call you till you study. When God called me to ministry, you know what? It was in, what, 1998. I remember Drea came home from work. I told her, God called me to ministry. And, but it wasn't until 2004 that we started a church. You know what? Know what I was doing in that time? Reading the Bible and studying Hebrew. And so God was like, you got to be prepared where you go into this, because once you start talking to people, your job becomes dangerous because there are lives on the line.
Yes.
Right? I'm telling you how to tie your jump out of a plane, parachute. I'm trying to tell you how to tie a parachute, and you're about to jump out of a plane. If I get it wrong and you tie it wrong, right? Yes. You jacked up.
Yep.
And I'm more jacked up because God wants to know, what did you do?
Right.
Okay? So telling someone that once you're saved, you're always saved is very dangerous.
Yes.
Okay? Because you're telling that person, don't try to come out of your sin. Just be who you are. Christ did all of that on the cross. And if you try to stop sinning, that means you're trying to save yourself. See, you go, wow, that means like, you get it. You're like, that is such a weird lie, right? But all over the country, one lady emailed me the other day. I heard you're a false teacher because you believe that we have to live right to go to heaven. I started typing. I was like, I should have been in a typing class after that. I started typing. I was saying, I didn't call her no names.
Really?
Because I'm saved.
Okay.
But I'm trying to explain to her how ridiculous it is for somebody to say you're trying to live right, so you're a false prophet.
Wow.
Lord.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
So Lord, let me talk to you about three things. Who knows what a lukewarm person is? A lukewarm person is someone who has accepted Jesus Christ, but their lifestyle is halfway in the world and halfway in Christ. If they're at work and they're doing shots after work, he's going to go do shots, right? If he's at church, he's going to raise his hands and praise God. If he's hanging out with friends and they say, hey, let's go to a strip club, he says, well, let's go. I'm just hanging out with my friends. He has no barrier between holy and unholy. You understand? He's just a confessing Christian, and he's an usher, so that gives him more power at his church, right?
Right.
So now he thinks he's a Christian. God says he's lukewarm. When the rapture happened, what does the Bible say he's going to do with that guy?
Spit him out of his mouth.
Say he's going to spit him out of his mouth. He said, so if you're lukewarm, is it possible to be a lukewarm non-believer?
What?
No. What are you lukewarm about? You're just cold.
Don't believe.
Right? You have to be a Christian to be lukewarm. You understand?
Right.
So he's talking to lukewarm Christians.
Wow.
Now, if you have no oil in your lamp, the scripture says those people got left. The oil represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you're supposed to keep inside of your temple all the days of your life, because the Bible says in Leviticus that the temple must always have a light shining inside of it. If your temple, that God is living in that temple of yours, God says, because I live there, a light has to be perpetually shining. This is a Levitical law to the priest. And then the high priest would come in every now and then in an hour you didn't expect to see if the light was still going. And if you were asleep and the light had gone out, he would take a flame and set your clothes on fire. And then you would be shamefully exposed, because the first thing you're going to do is what? Get out them clothes. So God is trying to tell you, you have to keep oil in your lamp. How do you keep oil in your lamp? You got to stay in your word. You got to stay in prayer. You got to stay in worship. By doing this, you're keeping oil in your lamp, so that inside your temple, godliness is going on. And the last one is the garment. Now, the 10 virgins, were they all waiting for Jesus?
Yes.
Or five of them weren't waiting for him?
All waiting.
Because if five of them weren't saved, then they've got an argument, right?
Right.
But if all 10 of them were saved and they're all waiting on Jesus and he's coming for the wedding, that means five of them weren't prepared.
Amen.
He's not telling non-Christians to be ready and put oil in your lamp. He's telling Christians.
Amen.
And then the last one is the garment, which is you've been clothed in the Holy Spirit. The end of Luke says, God has clothed you with the Holy Spirit. And you're supposed to have that garment. And we know the history of that, because a king is given a party. And when a king gives a party, what? He gives the clothes. The king issues the clothes to everyone who's been invited and has accepted the invitation.
Wow.
When you get to that party, you better have on the issued clothing that was given to you and not your own garments.
Yeah.
You talking about you just went to the swap meet and saw a nice suit. Y'all should laugh. I bought my first suit at the swap meet. Key. What's up, girl? How you doing? It's good to see you.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
You scared that poor girl.
Nah. She ain't scared. She from Long Beach.
Oh, okay.
She's like, what? All right. So, you have to have the garment that the Holy Spirit gave you. And so God is saying there are three reasons where people will not be raptured. And the three reasons are they're lukewarm. You ain't really with Christ. You just confessing it. It's a belief you have. Okay? So I'm going to talk to you about a couple of words, but the Lord wants me to stay on course. So I'm going to go to Luke chapter 13. If you would go there with me. We're going to be in verse 23. Chapter 13, verse 23. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 22. It says, then Jesus went through the town and village teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer you, I don't know you. Okay? I don't know you or where you came from. Then you will say, I ate and drank with you and taught in the streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you came from. Away from me, you evildoer. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself are thrown out. People will come from the east and the west and the north and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and those who are first who will be last. Now, see, it don't really matter when you come in.
Right.
40 years of ministry don't mean nothing to God. Mm-mm. God, like, this person got saved 2 minutes before the rapture.
Yeah.
And you're like,
let him in.
Let him in. Give him a mansion. Yep. It's the same size as mine. So what? You mad at me because I'm generous?
Right.
So you understand, you have to understand God is about saving souls. The only reason God is patient and hasn't brought on judgment yet, I believe, is because of his love and patience for human beings. But the world is about to be turned over to Satan. And you're seeing part of it. You're like, this corona thing kind of evil. You ain't seen evil. Okay? You need to pay attention because some individual person is controlling the whole world. And that's scary. So, let's continue here. So we see that some people are going to say that they did Christian things, but they will not be invited in because God says the road is narrow and very few that find it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. I want anybody, I'll give you $100. If you find a scripture that says you are saved by grace alone, it does not exist in the Bible. So where do these people get this idea that we're saved by grace and grace alone? They didn't get it from the Bible. That means somebody taught them that and it didn't come from God, so it came from the other source.
Yep.
Therefore, since you are not saved by grace alone, that means that What else are you that has to be incorporated into your faith for you to be saved? Are you saying Jesus didn't complete? Oh, he completed the work. He made it free for you. All you need is a confession from your mouth and ask Jesus to come in your life. That's all you need. From there, God says, now be faithful. Okay? It's like marriage, right? Wonderful wedding. And then your husband say, we did it, babe. What a wedding. Okay, I'm going back to being a slut and hanging out in clubs and sleeping with other women. Woo! And you say, well, what'd you get married for? Because somebody told me I'm saved by grace. They forgot to include the other part, so I don't have to be faithful.
Right.
Amen.
I wish you had my paper, so I'm going to write this. I'm going to try and write it. There's two words. I'm going to just say it because I don't want to walk over there. There's two words that mean faith. One's in Greek and one's in Hebrew. Emunah, Bevrit in Hebrew, means to be faithful, trustworthy, in complete fidelity to someone. That's what faithful, that's what emunah means in Hebrew. It means when someone says faith, they're not just talking about you believe, they're talking about not only believing, but becoming loyal to, trustworthy, and showing the person that you have fidelity toward them, right? The New Testament was written in Hebrew first. It was translated into Greek. So when they wrote Greek, they translated Greek in the word they knew, to believe in something without seeing it. Mm-hmm. But that is not the original meaning. When a Hebrew says faith, a Hebrew is talking about something completely different. He's talking about faithfulness. He's talking about fidelity. He's talking about being trustworthy to someone. So in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20, you don't have to go there, but if you want to, you can. It says, and he said, I will hide my face from them, talking about the people of Israel. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom there is no faith. He's saying this to a group of people that came through a dry ground with water on both sides. You think they don't believe in God?
Yeah, they believe in God.
Belief is not the problem. He says they're perverse because they have no faith. Emunah, what is he saying? They don't have any loyalty toward me. Soon as they got to the other side, what did they do? Start sinning. Soon as they got to the other side, what did they do? Create another a golden statue so they can worship that. They have no loyalty or faithfulness to me. And my first 10 commandments was what? Have no other God before me. But no, as soon as they got to the other side, they showed, you know, I'm not faithful to you. It's a great wedding, Lord. Love the day. But I'm going back to being me. And that's what Christians do. That's the church I grew up in, right? I thought I was sneaking out to go to a club so I could see Big Daddy Kane's dancers.
Watch out.
Dance against, what was it? What was the big guy?
Heavy D's.
Heavy D's dancers. Thank you. And man, it was, everybody was trying to get in. And I was like, oh man, I'm going to be there. I get there and the whole choir from my church is there. I'm like, first I'm sneaking around. I'm trying to like, oh my goodness, I don't want them to see that I'm in a club. I stopped clubbing. I'm not supposed to be clubbing. And they're all in there hanging out together. And they're drinking. And one sees me and they go, Sandman, what's up? You want a drink? I said, oh, we do that? She said she was buying me a tea, a Long Island iced tea. I never felt so crazy after drinking tea in my life. I said, That wasn't no tea. But it was the way I was getting my notion of Christianity now that, hey, nobody's really taking this serious.
Right.
Just do what the world does, but go to church.
Yeah.
That's what Christianity means.
Yep.
Just go to church and God got you. When you're away from church, just be yourself. So, and this is what's going to kill Christians, because they don't understand the difference between emunah and pistos.
Right.
Pistos means to believe in something that you haven't seen. Okay?
Amen.
Now, let's go to the book of James. Well, let's not go there. You can, because see, I got it all written down, so I'm not going to be turning my Bible everywhere, but I have to this time because I have more than one scripture to read. When you get to the book of James, say amen, I'm there, Pastor.
Amen.
Work out your own salvation up there. We're going to be in James chapter 2. You like... Okay. Are you guys already there? Okay. It feels like somebody took... Oh, there it is. All right. You're in James chapter 2? We're going to be in verse 18, I believe. This is incredible. It says, but someone will say, you have faith, and I have deeds. Now I have this in Hebrew. It says, Mashahu le'omer atayesh imuna. No, atayesh imuna. But I have pe'ula. He says, you say you have faith, but I have actions.
Mm.
You understand? He's not talking about deeds. He's saying, you say you have faith, but I have actions. My actions show that I love God.
Yeah.
Okay? Not my what I say I have faith. So this is what it says. It says in verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith. I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even demons believe that and they shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?
Mm.
Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. You see that? And his faith was made complete by what he did. Wow. So now he says, look, by you saying, oh, I believe in Jesus. He's like, so? He said, demons believe that. Now, let me explain something. Demons have never seen God. Demons are the offsprings of fallen angels. They are Nephilim. Some still live here. Okay, some of them are your best music artists. Okay, but demons have never seen God. They're just the offsprings of fallen angels. Angels have seen God. Demons have never seen God. Yet they believe that God exists.
That's right.
Even though they've never seen him. They said they believe it and they're afraid. They shudder. So to believe is not the answer that God is looking for. To believe and to put action to it is what God is looking for. Because what you do when you leave here is more important to God than what you do while you're here. Because I can be a really good Christian when I was at church. Praise the Lord, Pastor. God bless you. I mean, that's absolutely a perfect Christian, right? Away from there, where my Snoop Dogg album?
Album.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm old. You know what I mean? I'm listening to all kind of profanity. I'm watching whatever I want. I'm watching Kings of Comedy.
Ooh.
Profanity for 3 hours straight.
Straight.
But I ain't at church, so it's okay.
Preach.
So your actions are proving that you're lukewarm.
Yep.
Jesus says you have no hope of the rapture because your actions prove that your faith is useless. Because your actions, your peula, your deeds show that they don't connect with your faith. So, imuna means trustworthy, faithfulness, and complete fidelity. Pistos means conviction of truth of something you believe. Now, let me get to my next page. Let's go to chapter 11. That's where the Lord wants you to go. Hebrews chapter 11.
Amen.
Now God said, this is the most misunderstood scripture in the Bible. Because you're thinking about it in a Greek mindset. You're thinking about it in the form of, I'm believing in something I can't see, so that makes it. But this is what the scripture says. It says, now a Hebrew guy wrote this, remember. Now faith, being faithful to God, and being loyal to God. I need to read this from King James, because you guys probably have this. Did I pull myself away, Pastor Ben? Okay, I'm good. Because I want it to be as...
Where are you reading from?
Hebrews chapter 11. Because it says, now faith is what?
The substance.
But you know what the substance is? The word, the evidence, right? And the evidence. God says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is the substance that God says that your faith is? What you do. Your actions is your substance. Not your, I believe. No, I can't. Why? I'm trying to find Hebrew in this other Bible. Here it is. Because I want to read more than that.
Hebrews.
Chapter 11, verse 1. And this, there it is. Okay. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Not now, because I believe in something I haven't seen. That's the substance of things hoped for. No. My actions is the substance of the things that I hope for. I act the way I do because it is the substance of the belief that and the faithfulness toward God that I'm telling you I believe in him. So here's my substance, my actions.
Amen.
Let's use the Hebrew word. My faithfulness, my fidelity toward God is the substance of my hope. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By what? By their actions, they obtained a good testimony. Not because they believed in something they didn't see, because of how they lived their lives day to day. Things they said no to so that God could say, that person belongs to me. They're loyal to me. Isn't that awesome to be able to say, that person that I'm in a relationship, you know what the substance of our relationship is? Their loyalty and fidelity toward me. That's the substance. See, you want your substance to be, you had a wedding day. Wedding day don't mean nothing. 80%, right? How high is the divorce rate?
50 at least.
50 at least. I'm thinking prison. 80% go back to prison. That's the same thing to me. 80% of people who go to prison and get out go back to prison. 50% of people who get married get divorced. Why? Most of the time for unfaithfulness. So I don't care about wedding days. I don't care that you accepted Jesus in prison and you're getting out. Because I know if you haven't made a commitment to doing what's right, you'll be back.
Yeah. Yep.
And I know if you get married and you haven't decided to love that wife with everything like Jesus loves the church, mm-hmm. you ain't be married long.
Right.
You went in complaining and moaning and crying. Mm. She don't do that. And she don't. You made a new word. She don't. And people are like, Pastor Bill, stop it. You so much complaining, you shouldn't go get married complaining. Because God hates complainers, right? They crossed the Red Sea, and what did they do when they got on there? They started complaining. The meat, where's the food? Where's the water? We should have stayed in Egypt, blah, blah, blah. Never get married complaining.
Amen. Just stay by yourself.
Get married because you made a decision to do what? To be faithful and to love someone.
Yeah.
We're going to get into love.
Amen. 20 minutes, Pastor.
Hallelujah. It's more than enough. It says, by faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Now that's pistos. I believe that God created the world, right? But then in the Hebrew it says, by actions, Abel offered to...
You okay?
He a football player. He'd be all right. She gave me that mother look. Man, you in trouble. You better hold on to the baby.
You gonna get him when you get
him. He ain't crying. He is. I like him. Okay, now. So... Abel's actions proved to God that he was faithful because of what he did. He offered a better sacrifice than Cain, through which obtained a witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gift through it being dead. Let's move on to verse 5. I can't go back. It says, verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was found because God had taken him. He was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By what he said or what he did? What he did. But without Emunah, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him. That's an action.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
So remember, Hebrew is an action language. Yeah. It's about what you're doing, not about what you're saying. Okay? Yeah. To be unfaithful is in Testament as well, but it also just uses apistas, which means you're unfaithful. So it uses the word fidelity when it's talking about being unfaithful, because it says those who are not faithful to God, okay? So the Greeks had an idea that maybe this word means actions and not just believing. You understand?
Amen.
Because in Titus chapter 2, it says this. Ooh, we got to go to Titus chapter 2. I'm very sorry. I think I might be finishing here. Titus chapter 2. Is Titus after Timothy? Yes. Hallelujah. It was a guess. I love people who have memorized all the books. Not my gift. Chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 10. Because he's saying, you know, teach slaves to be subjected to their masters in everything they do and try to please them. But verse 10 tells you something else. It says, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted. They use the word there, emuna, okay? But they can be fully trusted. But it uses the word emuna, but it uses the word, if you have a King James, but infidelity, right? Because the fidelity is means that you can fully be trusted. So that in every way, they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. You see that? So show your faithfulness of who you believe in, your fidelity of who you believe in, by not doing wrong things. Then people who aren't saved will say, maybe they are a Christian. Let me listen to them. Imagine you come to the church, like somebody did a long time ago. Oh my goodness, we had this person and they opened for a praise expression, and then right after church, some girls had given their life to Jesus, and she went over to their house and took bottles of booze and condoms. Wow. It was like, aren't you the girl that we was just at the church? Yeah. So I said, you know, I know we ain't paying you nothing, but you fired. Because you can't give the church a bad name. We want to know what you're doing when you leave here, right? And this is what I'm saying. If you're going to get other people saved, maybe they haven't read the Bible, but they can at least look at you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Amen.
Like, okay, I can read the Bible through the way that person's living. Okay? Now, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Who is that? Jesus. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion and to live controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for what? The blessed hope, the glorious appearing, the rapture, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. So I'm supposed to teach you what? To love godliness, to do right, and to live for God. I'm not supposed to teach you. You got saved. You already confessed. Now go forth and finish your sinning. And then the Lord's going to come and give you eternal life. That's what Satan's trying to sell us right now. Mm-hmm. 10 pennies for a dollar. And you can't buy it. You understand? You cannot buy it. Amen. Listen. God said yesterday, as he's given me this incredible day, right? Should I tell him about it? No. Anyway, I was going to go somewhere, but God didn't. I was thinking to myself, I'm going to go here to this place, and I'm going to look for shirts that were on sale, like not too much money. So I'm like, I'm going to go and see if they have any more, and I'm going to buy the rest of those shirts. I get there, and there's none. I go, I might as well waste my time. I wasted my time. And then in my head, you know, when you say something told me, why don't you go look for the pants to match that jacket that you have? So I'm over there, and I'm looking in the pants. I feel the pants, and it seems like somebody left the napkin in there. So I reach in the pants, I grab the... And it's a wad full of 20s. And I went. So I'm about to leave, and I look over and I see this suit. And I'm gonna tell you, I was at a secondhand store because my wife taught me how to shop. Anyway, So I bought the suit for $19 and I got out of there. This suit, which I know cost $3,000 because I love suits. So I got $3,000 suit for $19 and I got $300 and $331 in cash.
Wow. That's a deal.
And as I'm leaving and I'm on my way going home, it says, you think when you're thinking about doing something, you're thinking about doing it, but I'm controlling your life. I'm telling you what to do because I'm the one guiding you. And I went, so he said, you've got to tell the people the message that I'm giving them. I'm telling them about this because time is short. And I'm talking to Christians. God has never told me you're going to go out there and witness to non-believers. God said, you are called to speak to the church and to prepare the church to leave. You understand? When I'm speaking, I'm always usually speaking to Christians. Only one time I remember really not just speaking the gospel and the Satanist guy came in and got saved, right? But I'm trying to speak to Christians because God says, you're on short time and some of you aren't really living for God. You're living lukewarm, but confessing Christianity. And he said, they still have time to repent. They can still say to God, I repent. They can go apologize to their wives, to their husbands, to their children. They can tell the boss, you know, I'm going to do better, whatever. But they've got a little more time to repent. And this is what the Lord was telling me yesterday. They have a little more time to repent. And I want you to lay it out to them straight so they realize they're not saved by grace. They're saved by what they do after they accept Christ. If you continue in the faith, if you do not persist in doing evil, the scriptures are telling us. So God is looking for your actions, and church has taught you God is looking for your confession and your baptism. Mm-hmm. All right, God, I went up, I gave my life to Christ, I confessed, I got baptized, and now I'm back at the club. And God is like, it ain't working for me. God is looking for faithfulness, okay? Faithfulness, just like you would with a spouse. You understand? Yes. Who cares that we got married? Do you care if you had a wonderful wedding, if your husband's sleeping with every woman in town? Come on. So why do you think God is any different?
That's right.
Well, at least he got saved. At least we had a wedding. Come on.
Wasted money.
So God is saying, don't buy such an ignorant lie that comes from an ignorant place that is sinful. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
The guy said, well, if you're born again, you can't be unborn. I was reading the scripture and the Lord was saying, I would spit you out of my mouth. Welcome to unborn.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you kick me out into outer darkness because I didn't have on the right garments, welcome to unborn. You can't be unborn if you're born. Yes, you can.
Yep.
And don't you believe the lie. So God is looking for action, okay? God is looking for a great marriage, not a great wedding.
Amen.
How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
Yeah, 7 minutes.
Ooh, that's beautiful. I was going to show you something about Cain, but the Lord said to talk to you. Because what I was going to tell you about Cain was about to sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cain was about to sin, and God comes to Cain and says, sin is crouching at your door, Cain.
Yeah.
He says, but you must master it. He doesn't tell Cain, but don't worry, I'm going to fight your battles. He says, but you must master it. It's knocking at your door. It wants to have you. It wants to, it says to Mama Shell, it wants to rule over you. Sin is knocking at your door because it wants to rule over you. Like my life before Christ was ruled by sin. You know what I mean? He wants to rule over. He wants you to wake up sinning. I woke up cursing. I went to bed smoking weed. I woke up cursing. I went to bed smoking weed. I listened to every profanity rapper that I could. And I woke up in the morning cursing, and I went to bed smoking weed and listened to profanity. And I thought, everybody lives like this. Until I started meeting some Christians. And I was like, why you don't curse? The Lord said, don't let any filthy communication come out of your mouth.
Yes.
Really? God said that? That's in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Well, why you don't smoke weed? Ain't nothing wrong with that. That ain't in the Bible. He said, oh, it is. Pharmakia. It means drugs in Greek. Pharmakia means drugs. And he says, don't be involved with sorcery, but the word is pharmakia. That's drugs. Why does God want us to smoke weed? Because it opens your pineal gland, and when you open your pineal gland, demons come in.
Amen.
So that's why they want to make it legal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll always have a demon with you because you're always smoking. Now, once you learn, you go, okay, if I don't change my life, I'm inviting demons in and I'm not pleasing God. And the end of my run is going to be out of the presence of God. And that's saying it nicely because torment and pain and fire is not cool. So I'm trying to tell you, if you're going to be in this, put some action into it. It's not hard. You're just redefining your life. You're redisciplining your life. You're saying, instead of doing this, I'm going to do that. Instead of listening to this, I'm going to listen to that. You're just redefining you are who you are. Now, I want to tell you something. It's impossible to do any of this until you believe that God came and died on the cross for your sins. It's impossible. You know why? Because you can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit. I had no conflict with smoking, cursing, fornicating. I had no conflict with it at all. You know why? The Holy Spirit wasn't living in me. Soon as the Holy Spirit came in and I gave my life to Christ, I say a bad word and I hear a voice go, why are you talking like that? Who is that? The Holy Spirit's inside of you. Now he's trying to reconstruct your life so it's more like God, right? So as the Holy Spirit is inside of you, he's changing you from the inside out. You can't do it from the outside in because you don't have the Holy Spirit. But once you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside. It begins to change you. And then now, see, people think because I'm a pastor, I'm a pastor. No, that's, you're looking at the Holy Spirit. I beat you and your mama up. I'm telling you, I was just a mean, bad person. I'm telling you right now. People told me, I can't be your friend, you're too violent. Because you're always fighting. And see, I used to think Pastor Ben was born praying for people. Just came out of the womb. Who needs prayer? Until Pastor Ben told me his testimony. That brother could drink. Almost killed himself drinking. You understand? How did he change from the inside out? All God is saying is, give me a chance. Let me come in and get you and prepare you for a kingdom of God. Let me prepare you for eternity. That's all he's saying. And when he does, submit to it and grow in it. That's all you need to do. Okay? The reason why I'm speaking this is because it's time. Once the Lord comes and he shuts the door, don't you go running. Jesus, take me too. I'm kind of a good person. Because he's going to say, I don't know you. And don't you run saying, why didn't you take me? We had a wonderful wedding day. Because he's going to say, you unfaithful. I don't know you.
Right.
Once you get saved, the hardest thing in the world to do is to get unsaved. Do you know that? What I was doing, I'm telling you, a lot of things I was doing, I did after I was saved. But you know what God is? Patient, kind, yes. slow to anger. He was always looking for a way to pull me back. He never like, oh, so you sin? Fine, forget it, get out of here. He was like, no, confess your sins, come back to me. I will cleanse you of your sins and we can be right again. God does this consistently all the time. If you sin, right, and you're a Christian, you have to persist in sin to end up in hell. A person has to be determined, because the way to get saved is a confession from your mouth. That's easy. The way to stay saved is if I mess up, I confess what I did and God cleanses me. I stay saved. This is the easiest package you're ever going to get. And yet people won't accept them, so they can never get started. And then once they get started, they think, oh, I fell away a little bit, so now, you know, God don't love me no more. No, God loves you. God is not throwing you away. You were too hard to get.
Right.
Oh, he just wants you to confess it and come back. You understand?
Amen.
So we don't live in fear. Someone said, oh, you guys live in fear. You're afraid to sin. No, I'm not living in fear. I don't want to sin because I love God. Yeah. You're afraid to cheat on your wife. No, I'm not afraid to cheat on my wife.
I don't want to.
I don't want to.
Amen.
Because I love her, right? Craziness. It's just craziness. This is what I'm saying. It's craziness what Satan tries to sell us, and we buy it. So let's stay prepared. Listen. This is the last day of the 120th year, okay? Someone says, Pastor Sandy, you're about 6 days off. It's real. I said, okay, I can stay 6 more days. Right. Someone else said, oh, you need to use the Essence Bible, calendar, because you're a month off. Okay, I can stay another month.
Right.
I know I'm going.
Right.
I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hey, look. I know my God created Adam, and then 1948 years later brought forth Abraham.
Yeah.
Then he created the second Adam, which is Jesus, and 1948 years later brought forth Israel back. That means somebody's controlling every year and everything from upstairs, and you want me to not believe the rapture because it didn't happen today? It may happen today, because it's not midnight. So stay ready. Praise God.
Amen. Good word.
Hallelujah.